Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you here in studio talking about Colossians chapter 2, and last week we had left off in verse 18, didn't we?
Yeah, we stayed in it the whole time.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Now, I was going to begin again, Bob, just by reading the passage, the actual verse that we've been in.
Yes.
Where Paul said, "Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind." And again, that's the ESV version, and we did some corrections to that last time.
Yes, yeah. We were taking this really from the Greek.
Yeah.
Because, dear listeners, every word in here has been contested over the years about what it means. Yeah. It's really a difficult passage.
It is. That's right.
But, as I said last week, when I found some good material that really unpacked what was going on, based on discoveries that were done,
right,
that help us understand the religions and the use of the Greek language in Asia Minor,
right,
where Colossae was and where Paul wrote, and it really opened this up.
Right.
And the reason I really got excited about it and wrote a CIC article, yeah, issue 69, because it helped me identify what was wrong with a lot of deliverance and inner healing ministries in the church.
Right.
The same error is being made,
yeah,
and here it's warned against. But historically, people just didn't know what this passage meant.
Right. Well said. And one of the big issues, as we talked about last time, was the rendering of this participle, embatuon.
Having entered.
Yeah. Now, that's the correct way of rendering it. And so, if anyone has a Bible out there and you have Colossians 2:18, write down where it says, going on in details about visions, that's the ESV version. If you can write in your parentheses there, having entered in or having entered, that's a good translation.
I don't think I did this last week. Douglas Moo's commentary,
yeah,
actually draws upon some of the work that Clinton Arnold did that we're talking about.
Yeah, very good.
And Moo's a good Bible commentary.
He is.
And a very contemporary one.
Yeah.
So let me quote him, summarizing what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Quoting Moo, this is from the Pillar commentary.
Right.
Quote, "To summarize this difficult verse, then we find Paul to be asserting four things about the false teachers."
Yeah.
One, they put a great deal of stock in ascetic practices, perhaps to induce visions.
Right.
Two, they are so concerned with calling on angels as a means of protection from evil forces that they are virtually worshiping them.
Right.
Three, they focus on visions they have experienced, perhaps citing the content of those visions in their teaching. And four, they display, perhaps, because of their boasting about visions, an arrogance that reveals a worldly orientation, unquote, Douglas Moo.
Wow, great quote.
And so there's some link to the folk religion of Asia Minor.
Right, right.
And some of these terms come right out of their religion.
Right.
So Paul is saying with an imperative, do not let anybody disqualify you.
Right, yeah.
Because they're going to claim they have qualifications that you don't.
Right.
So you're not a good Christian.
Yeah.
Or you have bad faith.
Right.
Or you have problems in your life. And if you knew what we knew, you wouldn't have any problems.
Exactly. Now, Bob, I was going to mention this verb, and you had talked about it last week. It's a perfect active indicative of heroikon, and it really has to do with this idea of seeing. And then right after that comes embatuon,
oh, yeah,
participle.
Yeah, the basic word in the Greek is horao.
Yeah, perfect
he
active
has
indicative.
Seen, only in the perfect active indicative, having seen.
Right. Now, in the perfect tense, it
means
often,
once they had that, it puts them in touch with that from there on.
Exactly.
Because that gives them a new status.
It gives them a new status, and it's always with us. So the emphasis on the perfect tense is the ongoing or present ramifications of a completed past action. So the idea would be they had the vision, and now it's always with them, the effects of that.
Because you had that. You had your second blessing.
Exactly.
Now you're a higher order Christian.
Exactly. They
always
have
that
status.
Now you're not like those humdrum ordinary Christians.
Yeah. Now what's curious is then imbatuon is a participle, but it's in the present active tense. So in the present tense, what's very interesting is oftentimes in Greek grammar, the participle relies upon what they call the head verb. And so they're tied together. And so that's why I think Clinton Arnold rightly renders it having entered. There's still this past action, but it always has the accentuated mark here as the present ramifications that are always with them.
Well, as I mentioned a little bit last week, in Arnold's book, The Colossian Syncretism, he talks about these inscriptions and some of the work that's done with archaeology, that these things went together.
Right.
This imbatuon was found in an inscription where they're going into a second stage of a initiation, right?
Right.
And there they had the vision.
Wow.
Having entered, they have a visionary experience.
Yeah.
And angels are involved, as we said. They probably learned secret names of angels.
Yeah.
There were also found amulets and things you'd wear around your neck. People still do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And on there are inscriptions of angel names.
Wow.
And they'd wear that.
Isn't that something?
It's sort of like superstitious people do today.
Right.
They have their St. Christopher medal, or they have their
rabbit's foot.
They have something. Yeah. But these angel names were deemed to have protection, and they helped them defeat the stoichia, the hostile powers.
Exactly.
And therefore avert bad fate.
Yeah.
And there were certain angels for certain issues that you had.
Right, and we've already learned in Colossians 2 that the originator behind these doctrines, yes, they're doctrines of men, but ultimately is the stoichia.
Yeah, that's the demonic interesting thing. It's very interesting. I wrote about this also in one of my articles because it helped me understand some of these deliverance counselors.
Yeah.
I actually have a section in an article called The Spiritual Geek Squad. And these people claim to know all this stuff from doing deliverance sessions where people have demons manifesting and speaking through their victim.
Yeah.
And they take notes and they write this down and they do things like command, okay, spirit of so-and-so, I command you in the name of Jesus to not lie, what's your name? Right. And then they give some exotic name.
Right.
Well, now they think they have the key to help this person get rid of their altar. The whole thing is very, very technical, and I have an article about that as well. And the problem is the demons are in charge of the whole thing.
Right, it's a charade.
Yeah, and so like these stoichia, says in Colossians 2:8 that these false teachings are according to two things, the traditions of man and the stoichia.
Exactly.
So it's like a protection racket.
It is.
The stoichia feeds information. That's the hostile powers.
Yeah.
Say, okay, you forced me. I'm going to tell you. And here's the angel that'll work on this one. Right. That's where it came from.
Right, right.
Clinton Arnold talks about this.
Yeah.
And so then you have the experience. You go through this like these deliverance people do with taking people through an experience.
Exactly.
So now you know. Whenever you have this problem, here's the angel you call on. Just invoke the name. It'll scare away this demon.
Exactly. You know, and Bob, this is just a recycling heresy and error of idolatry that goes all the way back to Israel's day. Think about the showdown with Elijah and the false prophets of Baal. Here you have these prophets of Baal who are taking the Israelites away from Yahweh. Yahweh, the true God who exists, gave breath to all things. He gives breath to his people. But not only does he save Israel, he also sustains them. He gives them a crop and he provides for them. But what they're tempted to do is they look at their neighbors and say, you know, our neighbors have a god and a goddess that provide great crops, Baal and Asherah. And so just to cover our bases, we have Yahweh, but we're going to go to Baal too.
Well, it's like people that have dead saints looking over them.
Exactly. And it's an attack on the sufficiency of the
Yeah, it's all the same air.
It's all the same air.
Well, then there's another version of this I was just thinking of as we went through this.
Yeah.
There's this Word of Faith movement that says that God is the one who knows the secret. And they use the King James Bible.
Oh.
They find a word, the faith of God, somewhere.
Oh, right. Remember that? Yes.
You have the faith of God.
Right.
Kenneth Hagin used to say that.
Right, rather than his faithfulness.
Then he changed it to say the God kind of faith.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, what this really means, or they pull that out from the Greek or wherever they're using it. God knows that his words will create reality.
That's right.
And when you have the God kind of faith, you can create your own reality.
Right. You become a co-creator.
So much like this Colossians situation, they're going to get rid of all bad things.
Yeah.
Okay? You've got sickness, then you just create your reality by saying, I'm not sick, I'm whole.
Right, right.
You just,
great application.
Your words control reality. It's another way of expressing a similar heresy to this one.
Exactly.
And it reduces God down to like one of these angels.
Exactly. It's an assault on God's sovereignty.
Yeah, he's sovereign. And I've got a story to tell about that.
Yeah.
In the 80s, there's a guy I knew actually from the 70s that we'd fellowship with in different meetings and when I was preaching and stuff back in the 70s and 80s. And I also went fishing with the guy.
Yeah.
He liked to fish, and I was a big fisherman. And I hadn't seen him for a long time, and I knew he was going to a different church, but he didn't have a lot of friends, and I knew he lived with his aunt. So I called over to his aunt's place.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen Jim for a long, long time, and I just want to know if he's okay. And she said, oh, he almost died. He's in the hospital. He almost died.
Oh.
He'd had a bowel obstruction and it burst. And I mean, it was terrible. He almost died.
Boy. Wow.
He was in the hospital. I said, well, what hospital? She told me, it's one over here. So I went and visited him.
Yeah.
And I prayed for him. And I kind of kept tabs until he got better.
Yeah.
Well, he said, well, I called the church I'm going to and they wouldn't visit me. I said, well, why not? Well, he's going to a Word of Faith church.
Oh, so it's a
where
crisis.
You claim, sure. You know, you claim your prosperity and you claim your healing.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, when I called over, the secretary said, we don't visit hospitals because we don't visit defeated Christians.
Oh, how terrible.
So he's laying in bed, almost died, and now they tell him he's a defeated Christian. It's not even worth having a pastor visit. Because if he knew what he was doing, he would never had this happen to him anyhow.
Oh, that's so wicked.
That literally happened.
Oh, that's
terrible. How wicked that is.
Right.
That was in the 80s. I don't know if they still carry on that practice.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the same kind of phenomena.
Yeah.
That's how this works. The elite Christians look down their nose at the defeated Christians.
That's right.
The Colossians who hadn't entered.
Yes.
Hadn't learned which angel to invoke.
Right.
Hadn't gone through the ascetic practices.
Yeah.
Hadn't gone through all of this and came out on the other side delivered from bad fate.
Wow.
And the others are acting as their judge. That's what happened to my friend.
Yeah.
Well, we won't visit you. You're a defeated Christian. That secretary for the Word of Faith pastor acted as a judge to this Christian who needed the love of the family of God.
Exactly.
And me, who they rejected because I wouldn't believe their doctrine.
Right.
By God's grace, I ended up visiting the guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know he was in the hospital other than I called his aunt.
Right, right.
I'm not saying I'm so great. It was just God sending somebody to pray for him.
Right.
When those people wouldn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. I just showed up there. That was God's providence.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. When we look at the biblical worldview and God's providential care for believers, we know that that involves sometimes sickness. Sometimes it involves health. It can involve wealth. It can involve being poor.
See,
but God's in control.
But see, there's a fear that God will allow that.
Yeah, right.
And
that's
they don't
point.
Trust him to keep them through it.
Right.
God might allow me to become poor. He has in the past.
Yes, that's right.
But I survived.
Right. You know, Bob, and you were mentioning that just in our culture, people will check their horoscope and the way this looks, where people are looking for answers outside of the scriptures, outside of the sufficiency of Christ, exactly, for control over their fate. Think about the saying, step on a crack, you break your mother's back. Our elevators don't go to the 13th floor.
It's just superstition.
You hear people say, knock on wood, as if somehow they say something, and if they don't knock on wood, there's a curse that they put
up. Fear of bad fate.
Exactly. It's the same stuff.
But so the elitist,
yeah,
it says here, having had a visionary experience, having entered,
yeah,
and being puffed up is the next word.
Yeah.
And the word in the Greek literally means puffed up. And it's also used in 1 Corinthians 8:1.
Yeah, I have it right here. Yeah, Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 8:1. He says, now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, the same term, but love builds up.
It edifies.
Yeah, it edifies us, doesn't it, as the body of Christ.
So, the ones who are acting as the judges are puffed up.
They are, and without cause.
They look down their nose.
Right.
Yeah. The Word of Faith people, they just have this haughty attitude, I know something you don't know.
Right. And isn't it interesting, all of that comes from the demonic realm. So the demonic realm comes up with a problem that doesn't really exist, namely Christ isn't sufficient. Then it comes up with a false remedy. You need these various practices outside of Scripture and Christ alone. And once it gives them, then those who don't have those practices, who won't engage in them, they're looked down upon by these who are puffed up and arrogant. And all the while, the arrogant ones who are engaged in these things are getting their doctrines from demons. The irony is just unbelievable.
The demons are playing a game with them.
Isn't that shocking?
The demon gives you the solution for freedom from the demon.
Yeah.
But he's playing both ends of the game. It's right. Like a con game.
Right. What a racket, huh?
Yeah, protection racket.
It is. It is. Wow.
Okay.
Shocking.
So now, puffed up, that's what happens.
Right.
When you found this new secret to being an extraordinary Christian beyond the rest of us.
Right.
Then it says, we're still in verse 18.
Yeah.
We're just working our way through the Greek here.
Right.
They're puffed up without cause.
Yeah.
By the mind of the flesh. Now we have here another genitive.
Yeah.
Okay. Mind of the flesh is genitive.
Right.
So you could translate it fleshly mind.
Right.
Mind of the flesh. But they're calling themselves spiritual.
Right. There's irony a little bit here.
And there's irony because, in fact, they're fleshly.
Wow.
Same ideas found in Romans 8:7.
Right.
Mind
right.
of the flesh.
Yeah.
And nothing good. You can't gain your spirituality from the flesh. What
right.
makes it fleshly? Because all of the fleshly stuff, pride, puffed up.
Yeah.
Unbiblical visions.
Right.
Higher order experience.
Right.
Higher grade Christian.
Yeah.
It talks about being fleshly. Here's what I said in my notes here when
yeah.
I preached this. This is fleshly piety. It's
that's
like an oxymoron.
Good. It is an oxymoron, yeah.
Fleshly piety.
Yeah.
Because the word piety is found here.
Right.
In the mind of the flesh.
Right.
So they're puffed up with supposed spiritual knowledge, but they're really puffed up by their own pride.
Right. Now, Bob, that flesh is an interesting phrase because sometimes people will take from that that somehow anything physical is bad.
That's not what it means.
And that's not what the scriptures teach. And oftentimes what we see in Paul is, like you pointed out, Bob, a distinction between the spirit and that of the flesh. And what Paul has in mind really is two different ages. The old age that was governed by Adam, sin, and death is the age of the flesh, as it were. But the coming age is the age of the spirit through the new covenant, mm-hmm. who enables people to believe in Christ and then believe and obey. But what's interesting is the flesh is seen really as like an ornament or something that belongs to the old age and therefore is a symbol of that which is in rebellion against God.
Yes.
That's how it's used.
And it's also used for two realms.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the things we've talked about, this, especially when we did Galatians
right.
on CIC Radio, that if you look at the list of the flesh,
yeah.
there's spiritual activities.
Exactly. That's
okay.
right.
So You can't divide man up into body, soul, spirit.
Right.
The spirit is the good realm.
Well said. That's exactly
the psuche,
it.
The soul is caught in between.
Right.
And the body's the bad realm.
Right.
No, flesh is the whole person.
Exactly.
Alienated from God.
In rebellion, right.
Yeah. Whereas the spirit, in that kind of context,
yeah,
is what we are new in Christ.
Amen. Through the new covenant, amen.
It's not a higher order experience for some Christians.
Yeah.
It's what we are in Christ.
Right, right.
Okay? The fruit of the Spirit comes from God working in the life of the one who's in Christ.
Amen.
That's but so here are these judges.
Yeah.
We entered. We had a vision. We know the secret names of angels. We came out on the other side. We did all the hard work to prepare ourselves
right. For
this experience. We fasted, we prayed, we abstained, and then at the full moon, we went down into that experience, went into the initiation.
Yeah.
Having entered, we saw, we arrived, we met our demons, we defeated them, we came out on the other side, and now we're free. We don't have bad fate,
yeah,
and you still do.
Exactly.
Okay, and the gospel comes along. People from Asia Minor become Christians. They're in the church at Colossae.
Yeah.
Some of them had that experience.
Yeah.
This is what Arnold thinks.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to give it up.
They didn't want to give it up, right?
No, why would I give it up? I might
need it.
Have bad fate again.
Exactly.
Maybe Christ doesn't cover all this. I'm not going to give up what I already have, I'm just going to add Christ to it.
Exactly right.
That's syncretism.
That's right.
People still do that today.
Yeah, amen. And again, it's the same problem that Israel had. They had Yahweh, but they wouldn't mind taking on Baal and Asherah other gods as well.
The northern kingdom?
Yeah.
They were very open-minded.
Right.
They built a place of worship in the south and in the north.
Yeah, that's right. Have one at Bethel, have one down in Jerusalem, and we'll just worship God any old way.
We'll do whatever we want.
Right.
We're real open-minded.
Right.
And they had the prosperity for a while.
Yeah.
The northern kingdom had better agriculture.
Right. That's exactly right.
So they thought, why should we follow these tribe of Judah people down here?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's the same heresy.
And
recycled time and time again.
And they became pagan, and they were the first to be driven out.
Yeah. Yeah.
First to be judged.
Yep.
Well, then we go to verse 19. I think we've covered this.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is of the flesh, even though it sounds spiritual.
Yeah.
Now we go to verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, now I'm in a New American Standard Bible.
Yeah.
From whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God.
Wow. Not holding fast to the head. Now, the head here is Christ.
Yes.
And so not holding fast to the head shows that those who engaged in these practices of asceticism, the entering in, the worship of angels, all of that was consistent with abandoning Christ.
Yes, though they would deny it.
Right. Wow.
But they're disconnected from the Christ of the Bible.
Yeah.
And I've contended for decades now
that
if we don't allow the Bible to define who Christ is, what he did,
right. Why
we need him, and what he expects of us, we don't understand the gospel.
Yeah, amen.
And I've preached that in my sermons for as long as I can remember.
Right.
As long as you've known me, anyhow.
Yeah, amen.
That's how I preach the gospel.
Exactly.
I don't presume anybody knows who Christ is.
Right.
A lot of panentheists believe Christ is the Christ consciousness, which is sort of the spirit or consciousness or soul of the created universe.
Yeah, that's
it's all
right. Blended
together.
That's a great point.
And then higher order people are achieving consciousness that ordinary people don't have.
That's right.
So there's just so many different ways to do this.
Yeah.
So when it says, not holding fast to the head, in this case, their sin was diminishing Christ.
Amen.
Let's say it this way. We've been going through Colossians for a while.
Yeah.
They don't believe Colossians 1, 13, and 14.
Exactly. They don't believe they've been transferred.
Yeah. They don't believe they've been rescued,
yeah.
transferred, redeemed, and forgiven.
Amen.
There's a reason Paul has the Christ hymn in Colossians 1.
Exactly.
Because it shows that that's what you know, that's what you believe, that's how you worship.
That's what you need.
If you're holding fast to Christ.
Amen.
If I'm holding fast to Christ, I know I've been transferred,
yeah.
and I can't go back to another domain, and I don't need anything from that domain to protect me in the domain. I'm not there.
Amen. Well,
what do I care about the stoichia?
Yeah.
I'm in Christ.
Right. He controls that.
Yes. And so, not holding fast to the head from whom the entire body, all of us.
Right.
There's no superior Christians.
Amen.
We're all sinners saved by grace
right.
for Christians, being supplied, held together by the joints and ligaments. We have a human body metaphor.
Yeah.
Grows with the growth which is from God. All Christians in Christ are growing by the means of grace. They don't need to go down to Kleros, to the Temple of Apollos.
That's right.
And enter in
Amen.
And meet their demons.
Exactly.
They need to hold fast to Christ. Now, Paul also taught this when he wrote to the Ephesians.
Exactly. It's the same issue.
There is Asia Minor.
Right.
And what did he teach to the Ephesians? Ephesians 1, 20 through 22. When I preached on this, I used this.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1, 20 through 22. Again, Asia Minor.
Yeah.
Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. Stop right there. What were they worried about?
They were worried about the demonic realm.
The names of the demons.
Yeah.
The names of the stoichia. The names of the hostile power. And then, to defeat them, the names of the corresponding angel that would protect you from that power.
That's right. That's right.
So you had to wear this necklace, this, or a bracelet or something on your body
yeah.
that had angel names to protect you.
Right.
Paul says, no. Christ is seated in the heavenly places far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion and name that is named.
Yeah.
What you need is to throw all that away
yeah.
and go to Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Believe him. Not only in this age, Paul says, but also in the one to come. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church.
Wow.
So that's what you have to believe if you're going to hold fast to the head.
Exactly. We have sufficiency in Jesus Christ.
Sufficiency.
You know, I was thinking, Bob, we had done radio prior to Colossians. We had done it on Galatians. And in Galatians, we have another church that's in Asia Minor. The issue is an attack on the sufficiency of Christ. The attack comes through Judaizers who want people to return to one element in particular, circumcision of the Mosaic Law. And what Paul says is if you do that, you've lost Christ.
Amen.
Because in Christ, you have all you need. You have atonement and you have righteousness. You don't need the law. He's
fulfilled. Same problem here.
Same problem
here.
Not
holding fast to the head.
Exactly.
So they become puffed up, become arrogant.
Right.
I'm better than everybody else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when we look at America, we don't need our horoscopes. We don't need a labyrinth. We don't need meditation.
We don't need yoga. Have a secret religious thing hanging around your neck.
Exactly.
To scare away the bad forces.
Right. We don't need rabbit's feet or crosses hanging from our the rosary beads and all the other things that people hang from their rearview
yeah.
mirror in their car to protect
them.
No, we don't need it.
Superstitious.
Exactly. That's right. We need Christ and Christ alone. You know, what's interesting, Bob, is the biblical message is really codified well in Romans 8:28, where it says that he causes all things to work for the good for those who love him and called according to
right.
his purpose. And the point being is when we come to Jesus Christ, we can be absolutely confident that everything in life providentially, in other words, whether we have health or we are sick, whether we have wealth or we're poor, whatever it is in life, whatever our lot, quote unquote, is, God is in control and will guarantee that he will use all things
yeah.
in our life to conform us to the image of his
right.
son, and that he will deliver us faultless on the last day in judgment so that we will have a resurrection unto eternal life and reign in the coming kingdom. That's what we have in Jesus Christ.
The end of Romans 8,
yeah,
he lists what he means by all things.
It's
comprehensive.
It's comprehensive, exactly.
Things created, things to come.
Right, angels, whatever.
An Arminian wants to tell me, but it doesn't say our own self. See, we can do it. Got to have our free will.
Right.
You know what I said?
What's that? We're created.
Are you created or not?
Exactly. Right. Amen. That's exactly the response. Yeah, it's all encompassing.
Did Paul intend for it to be a universal statement?
Yeah.
That's all you need to know, and he did.
He did, absolutely.
So we're saved.
Right.
So I don't have a fear of, I might make a different decision next weekend and I'm going to be separated from Christ.
Amen. You know, Bob, isn't it freeing? When I learned these doctrines years ago, that in Christ we have sufficiency, and started unpacking and seeing this, it actually is very freeing, because you realize all of these hoops that people will put in place of Christ, you don't have to jump through anymore.
I'd rather trust Christ than me.
Amen. Me too. Well, I know we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind all of you out there that you can access this program at our website at cscministry.org. Well, Bob, thanks for doing so much great research, and it was a blast talking about this passage with you.
I love doing exegesis of the Bible.
It's great. It's great. Yeah, thank you so much, and thanks so much to Clinton Arnold and all the work he has done as well. We want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.